This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Out of northern Syria. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, October 14. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump has ordered American troops to vacate the area of northern Syria where an invasion by Turkey is underway.
Hunter Biden, son of presidential candidate Joe Biden, says he's resigning from the board of a Chinese private equity firm.
Police in Fort Worth, Texas are being forced to explain why they fatally shot a woman through the window of her own home.
And guess who's getting scammed out of millions of dollars besides seniors, millennials.
They're shopping a little bit more online, very comfortable with shopping, and one of the top areas of fraud is online shopping, so they're getting hit with that. Online shopping accounted for $71 million in losses over the past 2 years, according to the FTC, for the millennials.
Susan Tompor at the Detroit Free Press on how young adults are getting taken by cyber crooks. She's here in about 20 minutes. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says President Trump has ordered a full withdrawal of U.S. troops from northern Syria, getting out of harm's way as Turkey expands its announced incursion. The U.S. military said yesterday that Turkish artillery deliberately targeted areas within hundreds of feet of American troops on Friday.
It's terrible. It's a terrible situation. We condemn it. We have condemned it. These are just as things that we told the Turks would happen and play out. Who's conducting it? It's unclear at this point in time. There are Turkish regular forces and there are Turkish proxy forces.
Mr. Esper was on CBS's Face the Nation. Meanwhile, reports of atrocities emerged over the weekend. The Wall Street Journal says an Arab militia backed by Turkey was accused of carrying out executions of civilians, with one video showing a man being shot on a roadside. Exploiting the turmoil, Islamic State terrorists set off a car bomb in one city on Friday and another Saturday outside a prison in another city that's deeper inside Kurdish-controlled territory. In the face of a controversial business profile, Hunter Biden is stepping down from a director's position at a Chinese private equity firm. President Trump has publicly called for China to investigate that involvement. Separately, on a phone call with the president of Ukraine in July, Mr. Trump asked the country's leader to investigate Hunter Biden's work there during Joe Biden's vice presidency, when he oversaw U.S. policy on Ukraine. Joe Biden, as you know, is a presidential contender. He was campaigning yesterday in Altoona, Iowa.
No one in my family will have an office in the White House, will sit in meetings as if they're a cabinet member, will in fact have any business relationship with anyone that relates to a foreign corporation or a foreign country. Period.
Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that U.S. Ambassador to the European Union plans to testify this week that President Trump personally assured him that there was no quid pro quo between aid for Ukraine and a request to investigate the Bidens. A forecasting firm predicts that President Trump will win re-election if the economy alone is the determining factor. Oxford Economics predicts Mr. Trump will win 55% of the popular vote in 2020, with Democrats taking 45% in a two-party race. More from Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, explain.
Well, you know, Trump critics might be amazed and perhaps alarmed to hear this, but just based on analysis of how incumbent presidents do when they're running for re-election, based on the state of the economy, things look pretty good for President Trump. I mean, I know we've been hearing talk that there could be signs of a recession coming, but we are not in a recession right now. And the forecasting firms that look at these things basically think job growth ought to be okay in the second half of 2020. Wage growth will probably be okay. Inflation will probably still be low. And those are the things that people vote on. You know, for all the attention the election's getting right now, a lot of voters don't even really think about it until a month or so before the election, in some way even longer than that. So to some extent, The outcome of the 2020 presidential election will depend on the state of the economy in October of 2020.
I mean, we've heard that before, that people vote with their pocketbooks. So even when there are lots of other things happening that could be perceived as political distractions, we still go back to this. That's what this says?
I think so. And this is based on analysis of the state of the economy and election results going back at least to the 1940s at the end of World War II. And this is basically what normally happens. I mean, a reasonably strong economy with no terrible, warning signs always favors the incumbent. People look around and they say, I realize there's a lot of disruption happening in Washington, but what really affects the way I live? It's obviously your job. I think the affordability of health care is something that affects you. Are you hearing about people being laid off? Are people in your community, are they worried about spending money for some reason, or do people feel pretty good? So that is the part that favors Trump. Now, the analysts who did this forecast for Oxford Economics did clearly point out their forecast does not take into account political factors. It does not take into account the electability of the president, the president's approval ratings, or anything else. And they do point out that it could be different this time because of everything that's going on with President Trump, the impeachment investigation by the House of Representatives. There have been a lot of scandals in the Trump administration, obviously, and it could be different this time.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. He's written a piece entitled "The Economy Still Favors Trump's Election." What I thought was interesting, too, is that there's some forecasts, I guess, that show he could win by more than he won by last time.
Yeah, and what these forecasts do is they estimate the popular vote, not the electoral vote. The way they do that is they just look at economic conditions state by state, and they compare this. They have computer models that have all the results of past elections and the economic circumstances on a comparable level in those elections. And so they say, well, when the economy is about this good in all of these states, what is the general outcome? So Oxford Economics is predicting that Trump could actually win, based on the economy alone, again, he could win 55% of the popular vote. He only got 46% last time. So that would obviously mean he would win by more. And if he's going to go, win an extra 9% of the popular vote, I think that would mean he probably would win some additional states and therefore some electoral votes. This all comes with huge caveats because we have not had a president like Trump in any of these elections going back to the 1940s. Many things are different about the Trump's reelection. I think even from an economic level, I think health care is a big one. People really are worried about health care costs, and Trump does not really have anything to say about that so far.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, what's longer, your watch list or your reading list? For me, it's definitely my reading list, but there are not enough hours in the day. Then I found Blinkist. Blinkist is the app that condenses the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books down to 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. It's great on a commute. I like it as a refresher for books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm catching up right now on all kinds of history that I never learned in school. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning. To start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for being with us. There's outrage in a Texas community where a woman was fatally shot by police in her home after playing video games with her 8-year-old nephew. Police released almost 2 minutes of body camera video of the Fort Worth shooting. The video ends with an officer yelling, "Put your hands up, show me your hands," before the sound of one gunshot. 28-year-old Tatiana Jefferson was shot through a window. Lee Merritt is an attorney for the family.
By their own words, they saw someone standing at a window. And for them, that was enough to use deadly force. It's absurd.
The officer who shot her was identified by police only as a white man who's been on the force for about 18 months. Ms. Jefferson is black. Police also released a photo of a gun found in the home. The family attorney said police had provided no connection between the gun found inside the home and the shooting. Ms. Merritt said Ms. Jefferson was a pre-med graduate of Xavier University who worked in pharmaceutical sales. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. appears to be heading toward a full military withdrawal from Syria amid growing chaos, cries of betrayal, and signs that Turkey's invasion could fuel a broader war. Defense Secretary Mark Esper told CBS President Trump had directed U.S. troops in northern Syria to begin pulling out as safely and quickly as possible.
He directed that we begin a deliberate withdrawal of forces from northern Syria.
Esper did not say Trump ordered troops to leave Syria, but that seems like the next step in a combat zone growing more unstable by the hour. Sources say a U.S. ambassador is expected to tell Congress that his text message reassuring another envoy there was no quo prid quo in their interactions with Ukraine was based solely on what President Trump told him. Gordon Sondland, Trump's ambassador to the European Union, is among administration officials being subpoenaed to appear on Capitol Hill this week against the wishes of the White House. It's the latest test between the legislative and executive branches of government as the impeachment inquiry by House Democrats deepens. Rescue crews in Japan are digging through mudslides and searching near swollen rivers as they look for those missing from a typhoon that left as many as 36 dead and caused serious damage in central and northern Japan. The typhoon unleashed torrents of rain and strong winds Saturday that left thousands of homes on Japan's main island flooded, damaged, or without power. Millions of Californians spent part of the weekend in the dark in an unprecedented effort by the state's large electrical utilities to prevent another devastating wildfire. It was the fifth time Pacific Gas and Electric Company has preemptively cut the power, but by far the largest to date in the utility's effort to prevent a deadly wildfire sparked by its power lines. Carlos Correa hit a leadoff home run in the 11th inning, and the Astros won a battle of the bullpens, beating the Yankees 3-2 last night to tie the AL Championship Series at one game apiece. The call on KBME.
First pitch, and Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall, looking out. See you later! See you later! See you later!
Game 3 tomorrow afternoon at Yankee Stadium.
So we're going to see you later? Is that his point? Wow, first pitch to the first batter. Fans barely had time to settle in for the 11th inning, yep. The bottom of the 11th. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Millennials in their 20s and 30s are falling at a fast clip for online shopping fraud. Con artists who pretend to be your boss, imposters who pretend to be from the federal government, fake check scams, and business opportunities or work-at-home jobs. More from Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Susan, why millennials? I thought they'd be most aware.
They're shopping a little bit more online, very comfortable with shopping, and one of the top areas of fraud is online shopping, so they're getting hit with that. Online shopping accounted for $71 million in losses over the past 2 years, according to the FTC, for the millennials. And millennials reported losing nearly $450 million to fraud in the past 2 years. So a chunk of that's from online shopping, but there's also some of these fake check scams. A young woman I spoke to here in Michigan had a job scam that was relatively interesting. She was happy to get a text from a prospective employer. So this started out with a text, not a phone call, and it sounded like they had a good job from Indeed.com. Where she ended up getting a little bit suspicious was when the company ended sending her a cashier's check via FedEx for a wound $1,099.
Boy, you know, as I started reading this, I thought surely Susan is using the wrong phrase. She means seniors are being scammed, not millennials. Did this surprise you as you were kind of pulling some of these anecdotes together?
No, it didn't, really. To be honest, I think we're all very, very busy. These con artists are really very slick. They know where we hang out. You know, they know the millennials might be doing the online shopping. They know what pushes the buttons. You probably wouldn't go after a millennial with a Social Security scam, right? But you could go after a millennial maybe with a student debt recovery scam.
I see, yeah.
So they're going to package it nice and pretty for whoever their demographic is. So, you know, they're having a lot of luck using social media, so that's something to be aware of. Some new fraud research showed that a lot of these scams are starting off via social media or via a fake website. So maybe in that job scam, we probably had three things going: a fake website, a fake check, and a fake job.
Right. Wow. We're speaking with Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press, part of the USA Today network. Her piece is called "Scammers Fool Millennials Out of Millions of Dollars." Roughly what, $400 to $600 a pop, too?
Yes, that's what some of the data is showing. You know, it also may be that millennials are more willing to report some of their losses, too. I should add that as well. You know, maybe some of the seniors aren't reporting as much, but millennials are reporting losing about $400 on a median basis, so half of the losses are higher, half are lower, according to the FTC data. That is lower than some other age groups, where it could be $500 for those in their 40s and 50s. 640 was reported by people from 60 to 79, and then it's a larger amount of $1,700 for somebody who's 80 and older. And of course, you know, the crooks do go after the seniors because they know the money is there, a lot of lifetime savings, but they also know millennials are in a hurry, so, you know, and want to get things done.
Thanks, Susan. Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Scammers, she says, of course, chase the latest trends, and now they're trying to convince consumers for things like they must pay $80 to $100 to activate a new media player, virtual assistant, and other tech devices such as Roku, Google Home, or Alexa. Those according to new warnings from the Better Business Bureau. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This Morning with Gordon Deal podcast is brought to you by Privacy.com. For me, shopping online with Privacy.com is safer. How? By using Privacy.com's virtual credit or debit cards. They protect my identity and bank info when shopping online. Remember the recent theft of financial data of millions of online shoppers from a very large online retailer? Privacy.com's virtual accounts are held to the same security standards as your bank. It's PCI DSS compliant, which makes info online secure with military-grade encryption. Privacy.com can also help you take control of your finances by setting spending limits for when you tend to order too much takeout, or by monitoring recurring payments or subscriptions. Head to privacy.com/Gordon to sign up and start shopping. As a special treat for our listeners, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on your first purchase. Yep, that's free money to use on any online purchase. Go to privacy.com/Gordon and sign up now.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, October 14. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump orders the U.S. military fully out of northern Syria, with European leaders meeting to discuss the issue today. Hunter Biden to resign from the board of a Chinese private equity firm. At least 8 states recognized today as Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day. NLCS Game 3 today in Washington with the Nationals up 2-0 on the Dodgers. Steelers over the Chargers in Sunday Night Football. And quite possibly the most amazing lost and found dog story in about 20 minutes. The Transportation Department missed recent deadlines on key traveler issues like seat dimensions, evacuation safety, cockpit barriers, refunds for services not delivered, and flight attendant minimum rest. The big question is whether it ever will fully comply with congressional requirements signed into law by President Trump a year ago. Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal, has a look at why travelers are so low on the priority list. Scott, what's happening?
This has been a bit of a battle for a number of years. If you go back several years, there were some issues that Congress took on that they wanted the Transportation Department to address. Family seating, the ability for families to get seats together on airline flights without having to pay extra fees for seat assignments, and baggage fees. And nothing came of that. The department didn't issue new regulations, even though Congress said to. So when we got to last year, 2018, in the FAA reauthorization bill, Congress loaded up a whole bunch of stuff and was very specific and imposed deadlines in most cases of 1 year. So it said things like in 1 year you have to do an evaluation of whether evacuation safety standards are correct, because there's a lot of concern that too many people packed in. We've all gotten bigger. We carry more luggage. It's not the same thing as it was 20 years ago, so maybe it's time to do new evacuation tests. There were a bunch of other issues, and basically the Department of Transportation has not met the deadlines, and so Congress is pretty upset about it.
Wow. Why haven't they met the deadlines? There's usually something else that's going on here. What is this about?
Yeah, well, that's the big question. The Department of Transportation says they are committed to meeting the deadlines. Remember, the president signed this law into being, so it is a law. They're required to do this, and they say they're committed to doing it. Now, in a lot of cases, they have sort of taken extra steps and created committees to study these things, and Congress says that's not necessary for rulemaking. In some cases, some of these things were pretty simple. They really wanted to, it was one of their top priorities, to change the flight attendant rest requirement from 8 hours between work days to 10 hours, and that would be in line with pilots. And that's a simple thing of posting in the Federal Register that you intend to change it from 8 to 10, and you take public comment, and then you issue a rule changing 8 to 10. And so why do you need to study it? Why do you need to do cost-benefit analysis? Why do you need to, delay? So the thinking of people who are advocating these changes is that the committees and all are set up to simply delay and perhaps even sort of send all these new regulations into bureaucratic quicksand.
Wow. We're speaking with Scott McCartney, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. He writes the middle seat column. You referenced, too, that like cell phone calls even came up as something that needed to be addressed here. What was with that?
Yeah, that would seemingly be a pretty simple one. Congress passed a law saying that you can't do voice cell phone calls on airplanes. That technology exists. Flights in other parts of the world are doing it. The public is pretty universally against having people blabbing on their cell phone during your airline flight. So that was one of the rules. Now, in that case, DOT says they're going to get to that. That's on their agenda for rulemaking this year. Another one that they say is on the agenda is service animals. And this is one where the airline industry has actually been begging for regulations. Usually airlines are opposed to these regulations, and a lot of these regulations really affect airlines. There's one that says they have to refund ancillary fees if they don't deliver the service. If they, sell you an upgrade and don't give it to you, the law requires that they refund it. In some cases, airlines don't refund it. And so Congress felt the need to pass a law.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. He is based in Dallas. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, Beyond the Headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know that on Sundays, some saints wear halos and other saints wear helmets. That's why it may have been easy for Vatican employees who manage the English language Twitter account of Pope Francis to confuse the two when tweeting about some new saints the Pope canonized in St. Peter's Square recently. The tweet about the event read, "Today, we give thanks to the Lord for our new hashtag saints." Apparently, unbeknownst to the Vatican social media team, hashtag saints is the official tag for the NFL's New Orleans Saints, which meant it reached a whole new audience on Sunday and the tweet went viral. Many Saints fans were happy for the perceived blessing, with one responding, "Praise the Lord and pass the football." And whether they got any help from His Holiness or not, the Gridiron Saints were able to pull out a win 13-6 over Jacksonville, prompting the team to respond on Twitter, writing, "Couldn't lose after this. Hashtag blessed and highly favored."
Nice. Saints fans are going to be looking for this every Sunday now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They think this is a thing.
Yeah, it's going to be disappointing if this doesn't happen every week.
Wow. Speaking of football, how about my idiocy from yesterday?
Uh-oh.
So a week ago, I invite two of my friends I have three Jets season tickets.
Yes, a loyal season ticket holder you are.
I invite two of my friends to go. Let's do steaks on a grill. We'll tailgate, drink some bourbon, we'll bring beers, the whole bit. Right? And it's a glorious day.
Sounds like a great day.
So they commit. This is great. We're planning all week, and we go. Turns out we get to the stadium. I had given those tickets away to my dental hygienist like right. 6 weeks ago and forgotten.
Because you probably assume they were playing the Cowboys. They were probably going to wind up losing.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I understand.
I never have time to go to the games on
right.
Sunday. Never. So I gave the tickets away. And a friend of mine, he's a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I said, we'll grab him. My other buddy's a Jets fan.
Yeah.
I had given the tickets away. So we're sitting there eating this beautifully cooked meat,
yep.
drinking some bourbon. And I said, all right, if you guys want to make our way in, let me just pull up the tickets. The tickets I had given away.
So you enjoyed that Jets win.
That's
possibly
right.
The only win they'll get this season from the parking lot.
Listening on the radio. Yes, in the parking lot.
Fantastic. And
bartender making another round because we're not going into this game.
And Gordon, you know, you got to hand it to this delivery driver. He certainly follows instructions. A Texas woman named Ebony Freeman recently got a new mat for her front door with a tongue-in-cheek message for anyone delivering packages that reads, "Please hide packages from husband." Freeman put the rug outside her door as a joke, not expecting that it would actually inspire any action from delivery drivers. That was until last week when she received a delivery that prompted her to post a now viral photo on Facebook. The pic shows a large package on her doorstep with the much smaller doormat resting on top of it in a comically feeble attempt to hide the delivery. Freeman's post has been liked, shared, and commented on well over 60,000 times.
Wow.
Lots of people identifying with her plight here.
Well, I had something like this happen to us several years ago where one of my wife's girlfriends called and said, hey, the Nordstrom bill or whatever is coming in the mail today. Can you go to the mailbox and fish it out?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, before my husband gets home from work.
I'm pretty sure that's like a big-time crime.
That's probably a federal offense committed by my wife, right?
Exactly.
Going into somebody else's mailbox to fish out the bill, yes.
All right.
This is why women have this reputation at times, right? These things they do.
Every once in a while.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Just three things in life are certain: death, taxes, and the great fit I get every time with Mack Weldon underwear. It's a fact. Buying underwear is a gamble. The size you wear in this brand is not the size you wear in that brand. Materials vary, waistbands vary, and you never know if the fit and feel is wrong till it's too late and your money is gone. Well, no more. Put your money on Mack Weldon and you'll get a great fit every time. Shopping simplified and money is saved because Mack Weldon engineers their own fabric, and their meticulous design process ensures a consistently perfect fit and feel with every pair, every time. Listen, if you don't love your first pair, keep them for free. Plus, get a refund, no questions asked. Mack Weldon, the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants you'll ever wear. And right now, get 20% off your first order at MackWeldon.com when you enter the promo code Gordon. That's MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code Gordon for 20% off your first order. In what pretty much seems like an annual message, parents are once again being encouraged to check their children's Halloween candy to ensure it's safe to eat. Pennsylvania police are urging caregivers to be on the lookout for drug-laced edibles. The Johnstown Police Department issued a warning on their Facebook page after authorities said they discovered Nerds Rope edibles containing 400 milligrams of THC while fulfilling a search warrant in Stony Creek Township. Police said drug-laced edibles are packaged like regular candy and may be hard to distinguish from the real candy. The candy manufacturer that produces Nerds, Ferrara Candy Company, said it's working with authorities. It said the product is counterfeit and is in no way associated with Ferrara Candy Company. Medical marijuana is legal in Pennsylvania for those suffering from certain medical conditions. However, it is not legal for recreational use. Among other things, the FDA recommends parents not let their kids snack on goodies until an adult can properly inspect the candy following trick-or-treating. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to fresh airstrikes from Turkey, reportedly targeted civilians and a group of foreign reporters in a Syrian border town, killing at least 9 people yesterday. And that news as the U.S. appears to be heading toward a full military withdrawal from Syria. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says a bipartisan measure will be introduced this week, calling on President Trump to reverse his decision to pull U.S. troops from northern Syria.
A joint resolution that urges the president to undo his decision, to do everything he can to protect the Kurds, to do everything that we must do to prevent ISIS terrorists from escaping.
Defense Secretary Mark Esper says Trump had directed U.S. troops in northern Syria to begin pulling out as safely and quickly as possible. The family of a black woman who was fatally shot in her home Saturday after a Fort Worth, Texas police officer fired into a bedroom window while performing a welfare check at her residence is demanding answers. Family attorney Lee Merritt says the officer did not shout gun, gun, gun before shooting 28-year-old Adetiana Jefferson.
They intentionally creeped around this house. Why they responded to a wellness call with the equivalent of SWAT or the SRT is something the city will have to answer for.
The victim's family says she was watching her 8-year-old nephew when she was killed. A brutal video clip depicting Donald Trump shooting and stabbing media characters and political opponents was shown at a conference for his supporters. The New York Times says the internet meme, the president's head is superimposed on a man opening fire at people whose faces have been replaced, with the logos of outlets including CNN, The Washington Post, and NBC TV. As the rampage continues, the Trump character strikes late Senator John McCain in the back of the neck and torches the head of Senator Bernie Sanders. The video was shown during last week's event called American Priority that was held at Trump's resort in Miami. At the World Championships, Simone Biles broke the all-time record for most medals by any gymnast by winning the balance beam competition. It was the 24th World Championship medal for Biles, who performed a near flawless routine. China took the silver and bronze.
Goat.
I'll say.
The greatest of all time.
You will never see another one like that.
That is for sure. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. There are stories of pets being reunited with families after missing for years. Then there's this story. A 14-year-old toy fox terrier named Duchess was reunited with her owner in Florida after disappearing 12 years ago. The pup was found more than 1,000 miles away in Pennsylvania. Humane Animal Rescue says it found Duchess under a shed. She was hungry, shivering, needed a nail trim. The rescue center used Duchess's microchip to locate her owner, Catherine Strang, who drove roughly 1,100 miles from Boca Raton, Florida, to Pittsburgh to reunite with her long-lost pet.
Disbelief. It's gut-wrenching. Now I'm happy.
Duchess escaped one day in 2007 when Ms. Strang's son opened the door to leave for school. At the time, the family lived in Orlando on a busy street. Ms. Strang assumed Duchess was either hit by a car or picked up by somebody. She said she checked local animal shelters every day after her beloved dog went missing. She also continued to pay the annual microchip fee and updated her contact info as they moved to different homes. At a press conference, she said, "They are like your babies. You don't give up hope." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.